Anyway, I wanted to start this morning, tell you a little story that maybe you've heard before, but there's a, you know how the story goes that when you die, you go to heaven. Of course, we realize that that is not a biblical concept, that when you die, you're asleep. And then when Christ returns, he will awaken all of those who have fallen asleep in Christ and take them to another place. But what happened, if you can take it kind of in a cartoon sort of sense, somebody died, they went to heaven, St. Peter at the pearly gates, looks at the guy and says, your username and password don't match. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation, some of you computerized people, have ever been in a place where you could not get into a particular location. Let me see a show of hands, please. Almost every person's hand in this park goes up unconsciously. I have 7, 8.5 by 11 pages of passwords. I don't know how many you have, because maybe you just use the same password for every website. That is not generally a really good thing to do for security purposes. You have to? Yeah, see. You're a lot smarter than I am. But I have 7 pages of 8.5 by 11 sheets of passwords that I need to access various accounts in special places. So I must go on a lot of different places, right? But guess what? They are constantly changing. Or they force you to change your password, right? This password's only good for 90 days. So you're forced by some unknown reality, intangible force out there, to change your password. Old ones are forgotten. New places, reminders to updates. You got to think completely of new ones, and a lot of times you put in a password and they won't accept it. It's not good enough. You forgot the right characters. You got to use a capital, you got to use a number, you got to use a special character, and you got to use a certain number of characters. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? Our lives are full of these types of things. And the other thing is, too, is are they important to you? If you forget your password to your bank, if you bank online, that could potentially be a serious issue. Or if you feel like your identity has been compromised and someone else, for some reason, has gotten your password to your bank account, I believe your heart rate might go up. Your blood pressure might go up a couple of notches. Or maybe you left your credit card somewhere and you found out that somebody is using your credit card. Just happened to me. I got this notification from Chase Credit Cards that somebody in Ohio was buying groceries at a Kroger grocery store with my credit card number. So they called me and asked me, hey, I'm in California. I live in California. See, but they had some sort of protection in place. And that's a good point, because in our world today, and everyone pretty much sitting here, we'll purchase security systems and software to protect our identity. McAfee, Norton, you name it. These systems, and people are always looking for free ones, you know. And, but you know what? People will put security systems on there because there are people in this world who want to hack in and get your information, and generally not for a good reason, right? And if you thought someone had access to your PIN number for your debit card, it might cause you a little bit of concern. Amen? Now, what the heck is Barney talking about here? I thought this was a Pentecost fellowship. Now we're getting a lesson in information technology, right? You know what? Your PIN code to you is an extremely important thing that probably you go to great lengths to not forget. And if you do forget it sometimes, it can be very upsetting to you. Okay? even for somebody who says, I don't want anything to do with technology, I'm never going to get a smartphone, I'm never going to upgrade, I'm never going to have a computer. Somewhere, someplace, you will be required to identify yourself. So you're going to have to carry a driver's license with you or something to allow somebody to tell who you are. So, you remember one thing from this teaching, and probably I've succeeded if you remember one thing once you go away. And you've eaten your food and you're napping this afternoon. One thing. Your Pentecost password. Okay? That's all I want you to remember today. Your Pentecost password.
Over and over and over.
We are reminded of it in the Word. Over 310 times, God continues to give the password, the Pentecost password. So what? So we will never, ever, 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 ever forget it. But, you know, sometimes it's easy to remember, but sometimes it gets all kind of jumbled up in the process, you know. Anybody have a phone on them? Oh, there goes all the hands. Yeah. The Pentecost password is 5683. Now, what the heck does that mean? Well, you know, back in the day when we didn't have smartphones, the only way you could send text messages was by pushing a certain number a certain amount of times, right? Like ABC, DEF, HIJ, KAL. Now, those words, those numbers, 5683, they compute to the letters L-O-V-E. L-O-V-E, right? Pentecost pass, your Pentecost password is L O V E. Because it is the key to unleashing the Pentecost power of Holy Spirit that we have been given. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not what? Love. It profits me what? Nothing. See, so there's more to it than just having Holy Spirit. It's tapping into the power of the Spirit that's been given to us. And the Spirit is energized by entering the password. L-O-V-E. 5683. 5683. Now this gets really interesting because 5 is the number for grace. Grace, the grace of God that's enabled us to be in this place, to be who we are as children of God. It says, for by grace you are saved, not through works, lest any man should boast. We are who we are because of the grace of God. The number 6, which corresponds to the letter O, is biblically significant for man. Grace being extended to man allows man to have, and this corresponds to the letter 8, which also corresponds to the letter V, means a new beginning. So the grace of God has allowed man to experience a new beginning. And finally, we enter the number 3, which corresponds to the letter E, which biblically is significant for completeness. So grace to man offers him a new beginning, which brings into that completeness which we have in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? L-O-V-E. Look, I'm not teaching something that you've never maybe heard before, maybe teaching it in a little different way. But man, if you can walk away from here today and remember L-O-V-E, 5683, okay? I'm more inclined now to use that password maybe on my next quest. L-O-V-E, God's grace to man by way of Jesus Christ has enabled man to have a new beginning. That new beginning started on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place, and the Spirit descended upon those men as like a heavy breathing, and they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was proof in the senses world that Jesus Christ was alive and well inside those people and that they had received the Spirit. Is it necessary for someone who is born again to have to speak in tongues to be born again? No, absolutely not. No, I would never say that. But it definitely is one of the great benefits once somebody comes to know the greatness of what the Word of God says about the power of the Spirit, that it becomes very beneficial to them. And that Pentecost enabled man to experience that completeness with Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it says we are complete, and that's some sort of way of saying we are completely, 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 complete in Him. But we evidence that completeness as we walk like He walked. But Jesus was a love machine. That's the thing that drew people to Him. He was so loving, so compassionate, so kind, so interested, so welcoming. He never turned anybody away. We're celebrating the birthday of the church today, Pentecost. Happens to be one day after Bob's birthday, too, so bless his heart. Maybe we'll get a chance to sing to him. I know Jeannie made a special cake, so we'll work on singing to him, okay? But that evidence of that spiritual reality was that they spoke in tongues. It was the proof. Many believed, right? Over 3,000 believed that day. And in the days to come, and in the years that have followed. Jesus prayed in John that it would not only just be those disciples, but that those would come after Him who would believe and receive the greatness of what His life represented. But underlying the gift was the attitude of heart and the motivation in which it is utilized. Even though I speak in the tongues of men and angels, and I have not love, agape, it says it profits me nothing. Does that mean the manifestation is profitless? No, that's not what it means. It means it profits me nothing because it's a combination of my attitude of heart and my desire to really walk and to serve. Isn't it interesting that that chapter on the love of God is sandwiched between really the only places in the New Testament where there's a great explanation of the understanding of the utilization of the manifestations of Holy Spirit, right there in the middle of it. God devotes an entire chapter to walking in the love of God in the renewed mind. So it must be pretty important for God to devote that much time and words to it. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, at the very end of the chapter, Paul says, the greatest of these, there's three great things, right? Faith, hope, love. But you know what he says the greatest is? 5, 6, 8, 3. Oh, you will never forget that. 5683 L-O-V-E, the greatest. Over 310 times God talked about this in the Bible. He's trying to get a point across, you think? The heart, the motivation, the wherewithal that spirit is most profitably operated is in love. So, as you look forward from today, I encourage you to enter your Pentecost password. You remember what it is? 5683. Grace to man offers a new beginning in completeness. L-O-V-E. Guys, it is so critically foundational and fundamental to living victoriously and walking successfully as a believer in this world. You can know all the scriptures there are to know. You can get up here and teach probably better than I could. But where the rubber meets the road is 5683. Amen? All right, God bless you.